Meditations 27 to 29. Meditation 27. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. Our Prime Minister has observed that we must tread the narrow path. From time immemorial, this has been a feature of our fallen world. The ancients had their Scylla and Charybdis, two equal dangers, either side of the path, whereby the traveller, seeking to avoid the one, falls into the other and perishes. Life has its dangers, demanding circumspection. Immediately after the general election, no one, not even our Prime Minister himself, expected us to be facing a path between pandemic deaths and economic collapse. Failing to get it right in finding the narrow path through these two hazards risks catastrophe. Our circumstances provide a vivid example alongside the Saviour's teaching. Enter ye in at the strait gate, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It is not just that the way is narrow and dangerous on both sides. It is rather that the narrow path itself is a choice between two different ways of life. The broad way. The broad way has a wide gate. There is no difficulty getting onto the wrong way. We are born into it, and it is natural to us. Before there was any Forth Road Bridge, and Princes Street in Edinburgh was very busy, getting into the right-hand lane for the ferry was not easy. I was late in filtering across, and an angry driver behind gave a blast on his horn. The policeman on point duty came over shouting at me, "What do you think you are doing?" I explained that I had been in the wrong lane for the ferry. He replied in broad Scots, "If you're in the wrong lane, you go the wrong way." However, his better side took control and he waved me through to the ferry. What an illustration it was of our Lord's lesson for life. If we start off in the wrong way, we must continue in it, and the end is no good place to be. The narrow way. The only way to be is in the narrow path that leads to life. It has no evil attractions or distractions, when itself is but going in the right direction for a blessed destination. When Bunyan's pilgrim, Christian, and his friend Faithful had to pass through Vanity Fair, it was full of distractions to take one away from the spiritual life. Thus, in the Pilgrim's Progress we read, "Therefore at this fair are all such merchandise sold, as houses, lands, trades, places, honours, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, and delights of all sorts, as horse, boards, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and what not. It requires a settled purpose, a single eye, self-denial, and robust courage to keep on the narrow way. As there are so many distractions, few find it, and those who do need a strong and settled purpose to keep to the narrow path. The Apostle Paul tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. But can we get good out of a pandemic, which, like strengthening winds in autumn and hail in winter, threatens to halt our progress altogether? Yes, indeed, all works for good when God's all-sufficient grace strengthens resolve to persist despite setbacks. So Paul's thorn in the flesh brought enlightenment and blessing, and so our pandemic, shattering life's normality in many ways, will bring blessing to those in Christ's way. Christ's way. Our hopes arise from the unique way in which the Saviour went. For he was in the world, but his way in it was unique. For he was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He passed through, not untouched by it, but untarnished by it. He could say, "The prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." John 14:30. Holy, harmless, and undefiled, the Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect Redeemer and paid the price of sin with his own shed blood at Calvary. This is the way he went. And did he not say that through his suffering he is the path for us? Let us remember his word. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. And shunning every other way, pass safely through this world of sin, pandemic, and all, to be with Christ, which is far better. Meditation 28. Do thy diligence to come before winter. 2 Timothy 4:21. Winter brings hardship and hazard. The Apostle Paul urged Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." 2 Timothy 4:21. And the Lord urged his disciples, "Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Matthew 24:20. Winter was then, and can be now, a time of hardship and hazard. The Apostle Paul advised against sailing because of the oncoming winter, as we read in Acts 27, verses 9 through to 11. "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." No notice was taken. In things natural and spiritual, the unconverted man still thinks he knows best. Winter is a time of hindrance to labours. The cold can be a deterrent even in the spring, when labour is full of prospect. The ancient proverb states, "The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Proverbs 20, verse 4. But the winter in Britain brings real and icy cold. Often it can be so spiritually, and we are deterred from labour. Indeed, the physical and spiritual cold can coincide and discourage spiritual sowing. Throw in a pandemic, ageing, and a head cold, and one might expect a total spiritual shutdown on witness and outreach. But that would not be good enough. We have to remember that the cold is of God in his good providence, as well as the heat, whether physical or spiritual. "Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter," sings the psalmist in Psalm 74:17. The original perfection that Adam knew is gone. Jesus Christ, the perfect second Adam, had to live and labour in the world as it is, with all the hardships, and so must his disciples labour on, and be instant in season and out of season. The seed is good, and can take root in all clans and climes, as missionary endeavour has proved. So let us not weary of well-doing in the winter of unbelief, pandemic, and love grown cold in many churches. Take Christ as Saviour and Lord, and heed his call. Follow me. It will not be in vain. Winter can and must be a time of hope. The poet P.B. Shelley, 1792 to 1822, captured something of the hope with which we must approach winter. In those words, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Ode to the West Wind. But the Christian must do better than a hope that is founded on the fact that the winter will pass and spring will take its place. There are sunny days in the winter, but they are cold. But the sun of righteousness brings warmth to the soul. There may be a spiritual winter to the saved soul, but its chill winds will not last, for the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings is ever shining for the faithful. Winter is not, however, here forever. Thus the bride testifies, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. In one sense, there is always a spiritual springtime in the souls of believers, because Christ, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings, is always shining. But there are the dark clouds of illness, aging, bereavement, and personal crisis as well. When we add in a pandemic continuing through the winter, if that is what it comes to be, we will need to become more practiced at looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. But let us remember that God gave the winter as a blessing, and at the time the regular order was thus established, winter included, it would sound very welcome to Noah and his family, who had just survived the global flood. It would be good to be reassured that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8:22. God is still and always in control. Meditation 29. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Acts 16:25. Locked down. The lockdown reminds us of Revelation 20, where we read of a lockdown of even greater significance. John reports, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Revelation 20. Verses 1 to 3. My purpose is not to go into the various interpretations of this difficult passage, but merely to emphasize the consolation it contains for troubled saints. We are reminded that God is always in control. We are not engaged in a spiritual warfare with the prospect of Christianity losing. The divine resources guarantee victory. The book of Revelation is not to terrify, but to console saints. It brings us back to Christ's triumphs and the ultimate victory in dark, difficult, and discouraging times. It is written, if I may so speak, under the spotlight of the great day of victory for the people of God. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen." Revelation 1 and 7. This brings every veil of tears into proportion, so that we may say with David in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still." Locked out. David's comfort is not one to be locked out of by Satan's wiles, encouraging us to unbelief or neglect of plain duties. The Christian is to keep close to Christ, the Good Shepherd, who bestows the Holy Spirit. We are not to be careless, like the five foolish virgins who took no oil in their lamps and were indeed locked out of the marriage. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Matthew 25:10. The lesson is plainly stated by the Saviour. Watch. Verse 13. The Christian might go through many a dark hour with trials and temptations, discouragements and doubts, but with the oil of the Spirit of God in our lamps and hearts, we will never be locked out from the throne of grace or the marriage supper of the Lamb. The great works of the Holy Spirit in repentance and faith and cleansing and renewal will guarantee us a place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Locked in? Locked down sounds less objectionable than locked in, which may have created more of an impression of being prisoners in our own homes, which certainly would have been damaging for our government. The constraints of government policy have produced enough aggravation as it is, without everyone thinking of themselves as prisoners. The Apostle Paul had a wonderful gift for seeing the positive side of things. When locked in, he could write to the Ephesians, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Ephesians 4:1. The stressful side of the pandemic calls us to cultivate such a spirit and see the positive side. God is still sovereign and rules over all in his providence. "Am I in prison?" Then says Paul, "I am the Lord's prisoner, and this is to be for his glory." You can see this in action at Philippi. Paul and Silas were shamefully treated by the magistrates. Luke records their being unjustly and cruelly locked in as follows: "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Acts 16:23-24. These godly men could say of their situation, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes." Psalm 118:23. Can hardships and sufferings be marvellous? Yes, indeed. Was it not so with the Saviour? Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3. "But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Isaiah 53:10. The Saviour knew that his sufferings at the hands of cruel men were for the highest ends and would have a glorious outcome. He was able to say to his persecutors, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes.'" Matthew 21:42. So for Christ's servants, there are duties in distress and hope in hardship, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. So, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Acts 16:25. You remember the sequel. A great earthquake. All the doors opened. The jailer on the brink of suicide. Paul's cry, "Do thyself no harm." The jailers cry, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The ready answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The wonderful outcome, that he and they believed and were saved. Acts 16:26-34. Let us not be overwhelmed. Though this winter may be dreary, difficult, and even dangerous, as some rider on a pale horse is abroad, with Christ, even being locked in, can yield fortitude, faith, and testimony unto the salvation of sinners. Let us keep our Bibles open and our hearts open for that still, small voice within that tells us what to do. Amen.